right, folks, welcome to Shop Talk number 6. My name is Dan Brady.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And we are joined by our guest today, Kaylee Horton. Kaylee, how are you?
I'm really good. Thanks for having me. This is exciting.
Of course. So the general idea of this is we like to shoot the shit around our subject. So if you feel like talking about something else while we're talking, that's okay. The general idea.
I can do that.
And of course, today we are talking about Mata Hari. And we already got one comment from Carter saying, I'm back, fuckers. You never leave us alone, so it's not like you go anywhere.
Before we go on, I think we should introduce Kaylee a little bit. Kaylee Horton is a stand-up comedian in Pittsburgh area and also the co-host of Best Frenemies podcast with Andrew Hillary. You want to tell the people a little bit about that, Kaylee?
Yeah, it's a podcast about really petty grudges throughout history. Some of them are historical, some of them are just shitty pop culture feuds, but they're all really stupid and not very well researched, so it's fun.
Yeah, speaking of petty grudges, that's basically the center of our story today. That's great.
This was so cool. Like, I was just reading her like Wikipedia basically to kind of gear up for this, and I was like, oh, she did that. Like, she was that bitch. She fucking did it.
Yeah, she was. Like I was saying, she started from essentially she was her daddy's favorite. She was a daddy's girl, and he just like for her 6th birthday, he bought her goats and a carriage, so she didn't have to walk anywhere, you know. And then all of a sudden, because of poor investments, he lost all of his money, and then they were basically living in destitute for most of their life. And Carter says he's a daddy's boy. Shut up, Carter.
Is Carter like a consistent viewer friend?
Carter's my boyfriend.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. What's up, Carter? Hey. I got like weirded out, like, oh shit, no.
Well, a couple weeks ago we had a bot on our commenting. What was his name?
You had a bot?
Jacking off.
It was something jack off.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They had a picture of an old woman and it just said like, where's my grandson?
That's not even a bot though, that's a troll. That's better. You got a troll.
Yeah.
You guys made it.
Kaylee, you have to understand, Dan is really old.
I'm like 12, so can't relate, but.
That's Johnny, his boyfriend.
Hey, he's 20, okay? Don't make me
ugly. Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You gays, you're wild. You're wild enough.
Yeah, living our best
good
life.
Good for you. Get it.
Thank you. Well,
anyway,
at my age, I'm 32. The only people around my age have, you know, all relationship issues and kids, and I don't have either one of those. Carter says, we are wild, yes.
Wild and out.
So,
you know who else is wild? Mata Hari.
Yeah,
she started from the top, fell to the bottom, and fought her way back up there again.
She sure did. Good segue, Johnny.
Yeah, that's a running joke because, like, on the normal podcast, Johnny will get off the rails. He likes to get on his soapbox every 3 minutes. So I'll have to be like, you know who wasn't a nerd, and try to get it back to her. So her father lost everything, and then basically.
Old she was when that happened? Like, was she young?
6 or 7.
Oh, she was young. Okay.
Yeah. She and basically her father left and then he never really came back. Like Mata Hari's mom and dad, they both got divorced, which is unheard of at that time. And which, if you didn't know, in order to get divorced in that time and age, like 1880, 1885. You had to sue the other person, and then you would have to be in front of a judge and jury, and they basically ultimately decide whether or not you can get divorced.
That's the tea.
Can I interject here for a second?
Yeah.
Kaylee, this is the most serious I've ever seen you look.
Because that upsets me.
Yeah.
That's intense. That's really problematic. I hate that.
Yeah. So
love it for me, though. Love my divorce rights.
So, like, you had to say you're in an abusive relationship. You actually had to get witnesses to the abuse to actually be granted permission to divorce this person.
Like, I kind of knew that, but hearing it is really horrible.
Like, one of our very first subjects was a woman named Nellie Bly, who was a investigative reporter. And her mother, when she was 15, got divorced from her stepfather because her stepfather was beating the living shit out of her. They had to get witnesses after witnesses, character witnesses. And then finally the judge is like, yeah, maybe this guy is bad. So
imagine someone just beating the dog shit out of you and you can't do nothing until somebody sees it. So you're like instigating fights in public. You're like, this is the wrong bread, honey. Blow everything out of proportion.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, let's get pizza for lunch. He's like, you always do this to me.
Yeah. So once her parents divorced, her dad just disappeared. He went to Amsterdam and left Mata Hari with her uncle, like an uncle that she never met.
Where'd mom go?
She didn't disappear. She died because that's just the, you know, she died at the age of 49.
Why? Because why wouldn't that happen in this story?
Right.
To be fair, Dan, she did disappear. God was like, ta-da.
God just made it happen.
She disappeared like your wife.
Oh, wow. That's a low blow. I never joke about my wife, you sick son of a bitch.
Like, we don't make jokes about it on a weekly basis. We have audio evidence, Johnny.
What if one day Johnny
anything can be fixed these days.
What if he's just like, it's too much, too far, and just like lost his mind?
Johnny, the last time all three of us
we're already together, beyond that.
We both heard your jokes, Johnny. Shut up.
Anyways, you know who just we have heard?
Hey, well, I know a way to end a marriage without getting the approval for divorce.
Oh, yeah, you're a winner.
Yeah, I won. I won the marriage, motherfucker.
So then
I am victorious.
So Mata Hari was 16, and at that age, that is like you're basically a spinster. You know, she had nothing to contribute to society. She didn't have a dowry, you know, so she couldn't be bought off, you know, to be married. So her uncle sent her to school to be a teacher. And what happened was they sent her to Mata Johnny Hari. I like that. If you didn't know, you can change your name at the bottom.
I did not know.
So he sent her to live with the headmaster of the school. The headmaster was 51 years old. Can you guess what happened?
She fucked him.
More like he fucked her, but yes.
Well, yeah, it's rape, but
yeah. And of course, she gets sent back home, and everybody just assumed that this 16-year-old girl had seduced the 51-year-old headmaster. So
you know, there's one thing that I know about 16-year-old girls, it's that they are obsessed with old 50-year-old men. Can't get enough of them.
Oh man, I tell you what, I gotta beat 16-year-old girls off with a fucking stick every time I leave the house.
Yes. See?
Like, get away from me, you cruel hussies.
Imagine in 10 years you're gonna be Jesus.
Oh
man, I already look like I'm fucking haggard.
Oh my god, imagine when you get real good, real old though. God, you're swimming in 16-year-old pussy. Swimming.
So
she was getting ready to say, imagine when you get real good and ugly. Like, you're only semi-ugly now, John. Wait till you're real fucked
you're
up.
You're well on your way. You're doing great.
Oh, Carter says he loves older men, obviously.
See? Okay. 16-year-old girls and the gays. That's what...
Well,
my options are really fucking limited right now.
Hey, Johnny.
As Joey Diaz would say, I'm not going to switch fucking governments yet.
So after this, again, now she's 17, no dowry, nobody to marry off to.
And not a virgin anymore.
Right. Right, that is a very good point.
She is used goods.
And, like, it's well known, right? Like, it was the gossip.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. Well, the town already kind of hated her dad because he fell out of this wealth. So everybody was already talking shit.
Right.
Let me ask you, Kaylee, what kind of dowry is your father offering?
Oh, my God. Hard to count it all, you know? I think probably like a pack of birth control or something. That's about it.
Birth control?
Yeah.
Sack of birth control.
Okay. He knows whoever I pick is going to need it.
I don't care about any other comments, but this is the one that I care about. This is the truth. Now we cut through this guy named Rudolph McLeod, who was a soldier serving in the Dutch Indies, which is nowadays Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
He's 37 years old. He's been in Indonesia in combat for 20 years. Gets sent home on sick leave because he caught syphilis. Jesus, Johnny, you froze.
You know, that's very scary. As most people do.
And so he puts this ad out in the newspaper for a wife. And Matahari responds by sending him a picture. And so they start talking, and she fully.
This was sexting before sexting.
Yeah,
they're like sending you their dirty picture.
Absolutely.
Johnny actually mentioned that in the episode. Yeah, and so Matahari has this impression that this dude Rudolph is rich, has a lot of money, a lot of power. So she falls head over heels for him. But that's not the case. He's in a lot of debt because he does nothing but drink, fuck hookers, and gambles. And plus his ancestry, like his mom, they lost their fortune. So they're about as broke as Matahari's family is.
So to be fair, though, that doesn't sound like that bad of an existence.
No. No, but from where she came from, she wanted to get back to that, you know, that sense of power, that sense of richness, being able to live the life she wants. And she thinks that Rudolph is the man to do that for. It's like, oh, you silly girl.
And this is a lesson that teaches us not to take shortcuts.
Right. So,
you know, you want to get rich, you got to work for it. You can't just be out fucking an old man.
That's work, though. Like, that is some work.
Yeah, probably.
Well, if there's any old men that need some work done and you're very wealthy, let me know.
Well, so she put some work in and they had a kid after they got married, a son, and then they moved to Indonesia. And real quick, so we don't forget, Rudolph has syphilis. And what is transferred? So both her kids have congenital syphilis.
There was no cure back then? Penicillin didn't exist?
Mercury. Mercury was the cure. And of course, you know, not to foreshadow too much, but mercury is very poisonous. And so they moved to Indonesia, and there's a couple of issues. The biggest issue is that Matahari and Rudolph start fucking hate each other because they're sleeping around on each other. Rudolph is still out every night boozing and whoring it up while he expects his wife to be at home being, you know, Debbie Homemaker.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she doesn't want to do that, which is very understandable.
Yeah.
And I understand that because I don't want to fucking do that either. So right around this time, both her kids, their son and their daughter, I remember the daughter's name off the top of my head. They nicknamed her Nom.
Nom.
Yep. Huh. It meant like little angel, I think, or little miss. That's what it meant. So at this time, both kids get very sick. Mm-hmm. And the son dies almost immediately. And what had happened was the doctor was trying to treat their syphilis and accidentally gave them too much mercury.
Okay.
So Rudolph blames Montahari. Montahari blames Rudolph.
Okay. What was the justification for blaming Montahari?
He just always believed that she didn't look after his kids well enough. Like that. Okay.
So she was like, you gave him syphilis, and he was like, you were a bad mom.
Right.
Okay. And
they're also both sending letters to each other's family members saying, basically saying, I hope this motherfucker dies. So, like, and another
That's
thing.
That's marriage, though. That's marriage.
Right. And then we mentioned this Matahari's skin tone. Because she was Indonesia, she was subject to a lot of racism by other white people because they thought she was part of the indigenous population. Because you know how well we treat people with different skin tones.
The audacity of white people to go to another country and then to like oppress the people of said country that they're visiting. You're a visitor.
USA.
And to think you're bringing, you know, something like you're bringing a modern ingenuity to that culture. You think you're helping them by oppressing them is the wild part.
Right. Like the arrogance.
Yeah. Like missionaries. Like, oh, puppy.
Come on, take it down.
And the folks listening to this on streaming platforms, you just missed a puppy. Okay. That's why you need to tune in live on a weekly basis. So, essentially, their marriage is at an all-time low. About this time, Matahari gets really sick with tuberculosis. And at a point, Rudolph sends a letter to his sister that basically says, fuck, I hope she dies.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, marriage is going great.
Isn't it?
Fuck off, Carter. My hair does what it wants.
Dan's hair is tragic.
Yeah. Hey, you're the one that keeps saying I'm hot. So, you know, pick a lane.
Yeah, you really got to figure out what you're going for here, Carter, because you're making yourself look bad.
Come on. It's called daddy issues.
Oh, hey, that's one of my jokes. Thank you.
Okay, now. Okay, I exited full screen.
Punchline.
All right, now I'm in.
So they decide the one thing that can save their marriage is why not move back to Holland? You know, because big instances always save marriages. Kids, moves, new jobs.
Any great answer.
Wooden shoes always make me happy.
And windmills.
Yeah, wooden shoes, windmills, and tulip bulbs.
So basically, this is about 1900 now. Basically, they move back to Holland, and they decide to separate. Rudolph takes the remaining child because Matahari actually recognizes that she can't financially take care of a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Carter,
this aggression won't be tolerated.
He's going hard. He's coming for your throat.
He does.
You want some of this, Carter?
I'm beginning to think he does.
I'll drop a flying elbow on Carter and call it a day.
Oh, man. I'm not going to defend him. He's doing this to himself. He's his own
from
person.
The top rope. Oh! Kaylee gave me a weird look earlier. There was a point in Holland that the bulbs of tulips took over the currency, and that was used for bartering more than anything. It got to the point where, like, there was one bulb that was worth like $400,000. Like, it was crazy. It was a crazy time.
Why were tulips a priority in a society? I don't understand.
It wasn't necessarily the tulips either. It was more the bulbs of the tulips, like the seed of the tulip. And I don't know why it got like that, but that's why I mentioned that.
Interesting. Huh. For like opioids or like opium, I mean? But
No. Just like almost like Beanie Babies. You know, Beanie Babies were the shit. Yeah. No one gives a fuck about a Beanie Baby now.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I got a red tulip bulb. Yeah. And they're like, oh, shit, the tulip bulb.
Weird. No intrinsic value. Strange.
So at this point. Yeah. Margarita McLeod is dead. She moves to Paris. She decides that she knows what she wants in life, and she's going to do anything to get it.
And she's older at this point, right? Like, she's not 19 anymore.
She's, I believe she's 25 or so.
Oh, so young. Okay.
Yeah.
Kaylee, have you seen the movie The Players Club?
No.
It's an older movie, but it's essentially about strippers in the hood, and it's a cautionary tale. But one line in the movie is, I got to use what I got to get what I want. And that was her whole mantra, essentially.
Okay.
So she moves to Paris. Later in the interview, they asked why Paris. And she said, well, I thought all women without husbands moved here. So she starts dancing, and this they label it as exotic, but it's like this mixture of like Indonesian dances and what she was taught with like ballet and stuff like that, because she's much more than
honestly
exotic. Go ahead.
Honestly, though, it was a bit of a cultural appropriation. You know, I read over and over again that her exotic look was what benefited her, especially over other dancers at the time. And then this almost bullshit she made up of what to call her dancing, like this ancient blah, blah, blah dance that really, you know, sold her on to people.
But, it set Europe on fire, what this dance was. I try to find videos, but old time technology, there's no video cameras back then and stuff like that. So she starts blowing up, and then because she does that, she starts seeking out men of power. Mm-hmm. Like one guy, she slept with she got together with a French official, and basically like he bought her a castle and then gave her like an allowance of what was it, like $4 million, Johnny? And just basically,
in today's currency,
all she had to do was basically sleep with him once every week.
See, that is the way to go. That is what, like, I'm tired of this feminism. This is what women need to aspire to.
Hey, gotta make money.
We've both discussed the same thing.
Yeah, and man. Like, and that wasn't the only one. At any given time, she had at least 5 lovers, and these guys were all giving her money, like, you know, $250,000, $300,000, just like she knew what she wanted and she got it. And I have to say, she must have been a demon in bed for real. For men to just be like, here's $300,000, that head was chef's kiss.
Right, yep. It's not like they're giving her the money before anything transpires. She's not like a prostitute in that sense. She's like, she must be talented.
Right. And then, like, she performed in France, but she performed in Germany and in Spain. And she wasn't, you know, strictly stuck to these exotic dances. She danced in opera houses and ballets. you know, she wore like Johnny was saying, it's kind of cultural appropriation. She wore these East Asia, you know, garbs and stuff. And throughout the performance, she would take them off, you know, like strippers, or at least as we know them
like
now.
Like burlesque.
Yes. She was kind of the blueprint for burlesque dancing. And,
we lost Kaylee.
Oh, there she
is. The Wi-Fi cut out.
Oh, man.
Sorry. That's okay.
We're nothing but unprofessional here at What in the History.
Yes.
So she went to like Spain and she sold out opera houses and ballet houses and just Hans, the syphilis. Nobody ever, there's no ever record of if Mata Hari caught the syphilis, she had to have. But there's no real stories of her continuously spreading it because, you know, with the amount of men she'd been with, there would have been a trail of syphilis across Europe.
She spread syphilis throughout Europe.
Basically, her husband was a soldier in Indonesia, and he slept with a lot of locals, and he caught it from that, and he transferred it to their kids. But let's see. Then she kind of quit dancing because, like I said, this French member of the government or of the French government basically put her up in a house and gave her an allowance, and a very expensive allowance. And she didn't do anything for about 6 years or so. So she got what she wanted. So she didn't feel like she needed to work anymore, which God bless her. Is everybody else frozen?
Yeah. No, I'm here. I was waiting for Kayla to say something. I thought she would have had a response to that. But no, it's surprising that you didn't hear more about her contracting sexually transmitted diseases.
Right. I don't know if we completely lost Kaylee.
She may be back.
All right. Well, pardon us, folks. I'm going to try something on my end. Yep. We are experiencing connection issues here. So, Johnny, real quick, why don't you plug your previous episode of Inquisitive Minds?
Okay, my most recent episode of Inquisitive Minds podcast, I had on Courtney Tackett, who is a spa owner from Charleston, West Virginia, and also a Reiki practitioner. And it was a good little episode to introduce us into what basic Reiki is and how it's performed and the benefits of it. And
she's back.
It looks like Kaylee is joining us back again.
I'm back.
Well, basically, she must have had more venereal diseases, but I mean, I don't know.
I mean, one would imagine.
But I also would have think for the way history remembers her, they would have said like, oh, she gave the German so-and-so syphilis. What a hussy.
But how would you know? Like, how could you track it back to her if it's spreading everywhere, you know?
Well, at the time, most
Well, that's the thing. She was a woman, and they don't have to have any proof.
Right. Did we lose everybody again?
Oh, I think we lost her again, Dan.
Here, I'm going to try something real quick.
We're going to try something, guys. Real quick. My goal is to not have dead airspace, so I'm just going to keep talking, guys.
Keep talking.
Yeah, that's all. You know, I had some young teenagers in my lift the other day, and they were young girls, and it's disappointing because as they were driving, I guess the guy's house they were going to texted them and said, you better not bringing anybody here that isn't about to be 18. And the two girls in the back were like, oh, we just guessed we're 17. So they were going over there for nefarious purposes. And then they told me to turn up the radio and a song called Side Bitches by, I want to say Moneybag Yo, came on. Just came on and they were just singing it. And it's all about side bitches winning. And I was like, wow, the youth is pretty fucked up.
Youth is fucked up.
What's the dog's name?
Tater Tot.
Tater Tot. That
he really wants attention. Then I really don't want to give it to him.
Man.
Anyway, side bitches.
I have to keep my dog out of the room or else she'll be right here. And
I have a studio apartment, so the apartment is the room.
I live in my mom's trailer, so you know.
We are on the same wavelength then.
I cannot believe that of three people, I am in the most adult living situation.
Where do you live, Ronnie? What's your situation?
I share an apartment with my brother, his wife, and his child.
Yeah, you won somehow.
Yeah, I never thought that'd be the winning vote.
If anything, it just makes it more sad for all of us.
When you can't do life,
to be fair, when it was me and my wife's apartment, and then she died and he got married, so I was like, wow, 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 now I live with them.
No, Johnny, they live with you.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't live with me. They don't live with me. I stay in this small-ass bedroom I got because I'm used to prison life, so small rooms make me feel comfortable.
Oh, man. So, yeah.
Talking about damage.
You know who didn't live in a small house with her brother?
Matahari.
Yes. She.
You know why that was, though, Dan? You know why she didn't live in a small house?
Why?
Because her pussy and titties were better than mine.
Yes.
Don't degrade yourself. I have great tits.
My pussy is nowhere near as good as Matahari's. I can tell you that right now. And I've seen her covered titties. Mine pale in comparison.
Okay. Well.
Well, if you look on Google, you can find them uncovered, and they are again. I can see why she was.
I'm doing that right now.
I am such a prude.
There's two pictures of her nude. There's one without her with out pants on, and she is shaved. And there's one without a top on.
Oh yep, okay. I see the pussy picture. It's tasteful though. It's not just like it's like
Carter, nothing compares to you. Okay, calm down.
Oh, I don't see the titties, but I wish I did. Oh yes, I do. Oh yeah, they're nice. They're nice. They're sweet.
Yeah, they're much better than mine. Much better than mine.
And, yeah, me too.
And you have to remember,
honestly, my nipple ratio fucks up mine.
You got a big nipple. Big areola?
In comparison to my floppy titties.
Okay. That is a concern.
I mean, mine are like...
Raisins?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's not bad, Johnny. That's not bad at all. That's a nice, healthy nipple is what that is. That's not bad.
Oh.
Like some guys have like, it's not as weird when girls have big nipples, but when they're huge, it's weird. When guys have really big nipples, it's so strange because like there's no meat there to justify a big nipple, you know?
Right.
Gonna be weird here, off on a tangent, but those large breasts with the giant areolas, I do enjoy those.
You like a big areola?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I like natural.
Okay. We never knew Johnny was an areola man, but now we do.
Well, not for nothing. My wife had a what? E cups.
E's? Good for her.
She had some big. She had some big chesticles.
I bet.
Well. Full disclosure, Carter is trans and he has a very lovely pair.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
Hans said I would totally subscribe to her OnlyFans, and she probably would have had one.
Okay, here's the thing about Carter. Does Carter have ease? Because that's like...
Jeez.
That's next level, you know?
Oh, they for sure are. very, very, very beautiful man.
Mm. Love it.
So anyway...
I bet Matahari had like C's. I don't think she really was crazy.
Very perky for having two kids too.
True, true.
But I mean, like we speculated, like she had to be bomb in bed to just some guy be like, here's $4 million. Go live in this castle while I hide you from my wife.
Right, right. Well, she's fucking since she was 17 and like multiple men constantly, which probably did not happen that much.
You have to remember that's a late start too at that day and age.
Yeah, that's true. But it's like things were so proper. I feel like you didn't like sleep around usually once you got married.
Right.
Fun fact. Sex symbol of the 90s, Pamela Anderson, didn't become a woman or menstruate until she was 18 years old.
Huh. Weird.
You read that in Hustler or Playboy, Johnny?
I don't know, but I read that years ago. Another fun fact, she was the first like porn I saw. I was over at my buddy's house, and this is going to date me. We were 12, and the parents finally left, and he pulled out a floppy disk and had part of Pam and Tommy's tape on the floppy disk.
Wow. Damn.
Floppy disk. You really dated yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember what porn, but the very first naked woman I ever saw was Mila Jovovich in The Fifth Element.
She was naked in that?
The first?
You can see her in the background. It's kind of blurred out, but, you know, you get the idea.
Yeah.
First, I guess I'll say, unquote, pair I ever saw was that lady from Total Recall who had three titties.
That sets the bar way too high. Then, like, every other pair of tits you see, you're like, it's not three titties.
Yeah, I've been damaged ever since.
Han said maybe standards were lower back then, like how many people were eating ass.
Where was toilet paper technology? You know, how far along was that before we can get into eating ass?
Oh, man. I mean, that's not part of my research, but give me a second.
You know, because if they weren't wiping ass, I'm not eating dirty ass.
But you also got to remember, they didn't really have running water at this time either. So it's not like people are taking showers every day.
Well, then I'm probably not performing fellatio or cunnilingus or any of that shit then.
People use leaves, greens, ferns, corn cobs, fruit skins, shells, stone, sand, moss, snow, and water.
My God, that sounds disgusting.
The simplest way was physical use of one's hand.
Nope, go fuck yourself.
There is no shit a That's website disgusting. Called toiletpaperhistory.net.
Seems about right. The website for everything else. Why wouldn't there be a toilet paper website if there's a fucking flat earth website?
Did you hear what I said, what they were using for toilet paper back then?
No, I missed it.
Basically anything but toilet paper. Moss, snow, water, their hand. Yeah.
That's so random.
Yep.
Gross.
In the Middle Eastern cultures, shaking with your left hand is considered a slight against God because that's what they used to wipe with.
Oh my God.
We were, like, before Iraq and Afghanistan, we were told to never present them with your left hand.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Because it's a slight against God, huh?
Because everybody wipes their ass with their left hand in that culture. That's interesting.
Yeah. Imagine if you're left-handed. I got to do everything with my shit hand.
I wipe with my right hand. Like, I feel like lefty's got it going on in this scenario. You're like, fuck, now I got to learn how to wipe my ass with my left hand.
Oh, man. So, we get to 1914. If you're unaware, Europe at this time was basically a gigantic powder keg. The start of World War One just basically offset everything. Nobody cared about Mata Hari anymore. Her boyfriend even kicked her out of the castle and stuff. So she went back to Holland, and when she was in Holland, she was approached by a member of the German military, and said, "Hey, with your power and like the way you get around, we want you to be a spy for the German Empire." She said, "Yeah, sure, why not?" And took 20,000 francs, which at the time was like, what, $300,000, Johnny?
Yes.
So she basically took the money with no intentions of ever being a spy.
She was a French spy at this point, right?
Not yet. This is right before that. Okay. So she goes back to France to try and reclaim her standing, because again, and not to falter, but she wanted to be at the top, you know, financially and socially, which I can understand that. So she went back to France, and a French general hit her up and said, "Hey, we want you to be a spy for us. I'll pay you $3 million. So she set off to Spain, and this guy kept like dodging her. She's like, "Okay, I'm going to do it. Send me the money. Send me the money." And this guy kept ignoring her, acted like he didn't know her. And later turned out this guy was actually a double agent for the German army.
See, I always felt like the whole spy thing was really clouded and nothing was really clear as far as her being a spy. Like, that's the big thing they like to talk about, too, is her being a spy. But it's like, was she really a spy, or was she just being used as a pawn in a bigger game?
Right.
I just think she was a subject of jealousy and hatred because she was doing, like I said, she was doing everything outside of societal norms. So, you know.
Also, like, with her dancing, how good of a spy would she have been? Because she's, like, well-known, right?
Yes, and that's what they were kind of expecting. Go ahead.
That would allow her to get closer to more powerful individuals without being detected as actual, like, a military spy. Like, okay. They think she's just, for lack of a better term, whore.
Right, okay.
And she was sleeping with, you know, top leaders of Germany, France, Spain. So, like, she could get close and get information, and no one would have ever suspected her.
Mm-hmm.
And Carter, I didn't realize you're an H. I didn't realize you moved up a letter. My bad.
God damn, H? Oh my God, does his back hurt?
Kaylee.
What? We didn't
nothing,
hear anything.
Nothing. I don't got nothing.
Oh my God. So she goes to Spain, and she gets some intel from the Germans. So she wires back to France like, "Hey, where's my money? I did this." And all the while, because countries aren't communicating, so like England had people following her. Spain had people following her. So they're all like, "Oh, she's playing for Austria and Germany, who are the quote-unquote bad times."
Yes, my back hurts. Knew it, dude. Fucking knew it.
Trip with the pun for the win. Little known fact, with all that sleeping around, she caught a rare form of sauerkraut media. Oh, man. Great puns. I like it. So then eventually she's arrested. The French arrest her because they get all this cross like information, like, "Oh, she is a spy. She did take this money." And again, later, years later, people looking back, like, they had nothing on her. The evidence they had was flimsy at best. But again, here's this woman doing her own fucking thing, sleeping with whoever she wants, making money however she wants. And of course, people had a problem with that. So they interrogated her for what, like 4 months, Johnny?
Yeah, something like that.
And she's in prison this whole time, probably.
Yes. You know, not living in luxury like she's used to. It was reported that she was like being systematically broken down. We should also mention she had a lover at this time.
Sure she did.
One man, but this guy was Vladimir from Russia, and he was much different than any other man because she actually wanted to marry him.
And he was young, right? He was like 21, and she was like
23, and 22? She was 40.
Yes. That's that. Yes, girl.
So, like, he was posted on the Western Front, so she would spend weekends here and there with him before she got captured. And she did say, if Vadim, she called him, if he had survived the war, she would have married him. So out of all, and he wasn't from, you know, he didn't have a rich background. He didn't have money. So this guy must have been either really fucking good in bed or very special. Yeah. Fucking horse cock.
I mean, she's seen some dick, like.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing, though. For a woman who slept around that much, listen. As a woman who's also slept around a lot, you cannot hook up with a 23-year-old after knowing what a 45-year-old's like in bed. You know what I mean? Like, that's incongruous. Like, that's going to be awful sex. It's going to be terrible.
Yeah, you need to get somebody with.
Yeah, you're not getting nothing from me on that.
It sounds like a horrible choice on her part. 23? You don't know how to fuck at 23.
Carter.
I'm 24, so like I just made the cut. But.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It worked really hard.
Johnny, you're just being a wet blanket. Shut up.
Hey, I'm not saying nothing. Unfortunately, I don't have anything to add to this craziness.
Johnny's wife's dead. Let's just throw it in there again.
Oh.
I'm just a bit of a prude. That's all it is.
I know how to fuck what the fuck. You do, but you don't. Like, you do for how old you are. Like, I'm sure in 10 years I'm going to be like, I didn't know how to fuck when I was 24, you know?
Oh, Carter, I'm just messing with you. You are a great lay, okay? Oh man,
I'm just gonna continue to pray for you, sinners.
Johnny's anointed. He's on another echelon.
Oh, another pun.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
For you people watching, it said a horrible choice.
So I just wanted to talk about this guy real quick because he had to be something special to get her to just be like, fuck everybody else. I want this guy. I don't want money anymore. But unfortunately, they never got that far.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe it was in October of 1917, they finally ruled that she needs to be put to death. Even later, her husband, Rudolf, remember that guy? He even said, no, she did a lot of horrible things, but she never deserved that. So
she was a badass, though.
Oh, yeah, she was.
She refused her blindfold.
Yeah.
She refused her blindfold when offered it to firing squad, and then she blew a kiss at the officers.
You can actually find a photo of her standing there without a blindfold. Just standing.
Okay, here's an alternate perspective. Han said, I was way more energetic at 23. Okay, fair. You might have the energy, you might have the vigor, but do you have the experience and the skill set yet? You're not. Anyways.
At 23, my all my sex was like... you were having sex with a hardened criminal, so it wasn't pleasurable. I was always on the run, so I was like, let's get this over with. They're looking for me.
You're always looking over your shoulder.
You,
be quiet. You don't know who's at the front door.
That's so funny.
After the episode, I actually looked up. There's a photo of her standing in front of the firing squad with her without a blindfold on, just standing there ready for it. And that is commendable. Because,
you know, Dan,
yeah,
I don't think I mentioned this before, but that's the way I want to go. Like, my firing squad looking at them all. Yeah.
Why?
What do you mean? What is a better way to go than that?
It sounds aggressive and terrifying. Wouldn't you be scared?
No, I love Jack those Rabbit. Situations exactly that test right. like exactly. situations that you get put in where your true character and your true core gets tested, you know, and all the other shit is blown away and you can see who you are. And when you're put in a situation like that, your true self is going to come out no matter what.
True, but then your true self is dead like 2 seconds later.
Whatever. I went out like a legend. We're still talking about this lady. I'm going to be like, yo, John didn't say fuck them. Right. He took it like a man.
But for that to be dope, then you have to do something dope to earn it. You know, you can't just be like, I want to go out firing squad. You have to be like, no, I have to fuck up the government in order to get taken out.
Well, I want to go out at a firing squad tomorrow. You know, I've got to do some
right.
stuff first.
I don't need to know your plans. You're right. You have time.
So, yeah.
Like the thing is, my goal is to gain some type of influence from stand-up and or podcasting over time. Flip that into like a bigger fan base and eventually have enough money to start a little cult. And I can have a combine and I can be a cult leader. And when they take us, because I'm not going to sacrifice my people, I'll let the women and children live. Mm-hmm. 87 will be my kids. Mm-hmm. So when they bring me out for trial, they're obviously going to put me to death for the horrible war crimes I've committed with the United States. And hopefully they give me the choice. And if they give me the choice, I'm taking firing squad. They're going to be like, whoa, John started a cult. He must have believed he was the Messiah because he said, instead of last words, he was like, I'll see you soon, my children.
All right, now that I have the whole plot, now I get it. Now I'm on board.
So,
see, I got to cultivate this loving and accepting personality. So when I turned it into a cult direction, people were like, yeah, that's right. He's a very loving, warm guy. He can be our cult leader.
Yeah.
Gay Frog Smith. That's going to be my cult name, I guess.
Gay Frog Smith.
Well, last week we had Trip on this, and he did a much better Alex Jones impression than somebody we all know, and just, it was fun.
Oh, shots fired at the local community. Local drama, if you want it here, here's where you come get it, folks.
Oh, man.
We lost Kaylee again. The fucking gay frogs are Kaylee.
All right. So, unfortunately, she dies by firing squad. I think she was shot about 8 times. The shot that killed her was the one that hit her in the head. As later looked at that, again, like I said, the evidence was very, very superficial. There was, you know, it's shoddy at best. Like I said, a lot of this was from greed and jealousy and stuff like that. But, you know, Mata Hari, she leaves behind this legacy of, you know, even if you're a woman, you can get whatever the fuck you want and you can do whatever the fuck you want, especially in this day and age.
I think her, like, sexuality was so key, too, because in a world where she had little to no agency outside of her sexuality, she was like, no, I'll fucking own it and I'll sleep with whoever I want to and I'll become powerful and rich because of it, which is fascinating.
I think she was like Amber Rose of her time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think historically, like Cleopatra was like the same kind of deal, right? Like she got all these deals with different rulers and stuff by using her sexuality as like a coercive tool.
Mm-hmm. No, Trip. She was shot by the French. I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway. So, we're at the end here. I hope you enjoyed being on, Kaylee.
I had so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Why don't you tell us where we can find your podcast?
Oh, yeah. It's on, like, wherever you stream podcasts. It's called Best Enemies. Like, I use Spotify, you have Apple, whatever. Check it out. Okay. It's fun. It's a good time. You can pick different feuds that interest you. You don't have to watch them all. So,
you got a new episode up this week?
Yes, we did Bette Davis and Joan Crawford this week. So that'll be...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a cool one. It's a cool one.
Johnny?
Yeah, you know, you guys know where to check me out by now. If you're listening to this shit on Facebook, What in the History? Inquisitive Minds, it's spelled differently. I'm sick of telling you fucking people. Inquisitive. Other than that, this has been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on, Kaylee.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Thank you so much. And next week, we are going to be talking about Operation Paperclip, which... was the operation that the CIA brought over 1,600 German Nazi scientists over to the United States and integrated them into our society.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, NASA. If you didn't know, that's NASA. Yep.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got to tune in.
Absolutely.
But thank you, folks. Thank you for tuning in. Always a pleasure. And thank you for coming on, Kaylee.
Thank you for having me. It's been super fun.
Johnny, you going to say anything?
No.
Oh, I had thanked her. I'll thank you again. This is Gay Frog's Revenge. Thanking you, Kaylee.
All the thanks and praise you could possibly manage.
Kaylee, you were a great guest. You were the best person we've had on named Kaylee so far. I think you also hold the record for longest brunette hair of a guest we've had on thus far, although Trip could be debatable.
Yeah.
Carter, thanks for tuning in. You can catch Dan all over the goddamn place.
You can catch me in Bray, Ohio this Friday.
Oh, shit.
Performing in the
family. What? Restaurant. Who else is there, Dan?
You're going to be there. Joey Purse is going to be there. Andreas and Marcus.
Very fun.
What?
That's a quad.
All right, folks. Thank you all. Have a good night.
It was a moonless night. I was 18 years old. Life was going nowhere. It was midnight at the railroad tracks, miles away from anywhere. I said my dark prayer. You didn't look quite how I figured. Green suit and black hair. Smile on his face, ribbons on his chest. He seemed to walk on air. He promised to get me out of this town. I'd be handsome, wealthy, and brave. I'd travel the world, be powerful, but a slave until my grave. Now it's raining in the desert. Has it always gotta rain on me? I'm just another of the devil's dogs. Would they ever want with me? He grinned, I signed my name. Diabolical back seal. Heard the cadence of an evil choir. Sand shifted, I fell into the pit and marched with the other damn. until I was one of them. But for every deal with Satan, we all face judgment, don't we? I was sentenced to a floating prison. Devil's Dog.